All right. Welcome to Coffee with Marcus and Mark, the number one stock market show on Spotify and one of the most popular market updates on YouTube. In this show, we talk about what's happening in the markets and how we're trading them. Today is Monday, March 11th. Stocks end the week negative and down to start the week. This week, inflation data is in the spotlight. The fear index is rising. We'll take a look at that. And the pandemic's four-year anniversary, what has changed? Plus, we'll review what happened to our Apple and GDX J trades. As you can see, there's a lot to talk about, so let's go ahead and get started. If this is your first time here, my name is Mark Hodge, and I'm head coach at Rockwell Trading. And you could say that today it's just Coffee with Mark. But Marcus will be back here tomorrow. And before we get ahead of ourselves, let's just get to the charts. Let me go ahead and share my screen here, and let's take a look at the S&P. So the S&P right now down 0.25%, the Dow down 0.3%, and the NASDAQ just slightly negative, down 0.1%. Now, actually, it would be the same because for last week, we did have a down week. So let me go back to a weekly chart. I was on a weekly chart, but because we only have this morning's trading, it doesn't even matter because that is the data for the week so far. But you see here on this weekly chart, the NASDAQ finished last week down 1.2%, the S&P slightly lower, down 0.25%, and the Dow leading the major indices lower last week down 0.9%, so just shy of a full percent. And right now, traders trying to figure out what comes next. What is the next catalyst? What will the Fed do? What's going to move the markets? And if we go over here to PowerX Optimizer and look at the economic calendar, today, no real data here to digest, but tomorrow we do have a biggie. Core CPI and CPI data. This week, it's all about inflation data. We have core CPI. Now, core CPI excludes food and energy, and it's set to show an increase by 0.3% for the month. This would be a 3.7% rise from a year ago. And the previous reading was 0.4%, which for the year made that 3.9%. So the forecast is that CPI, core CPI, that is expected to fall just a little bit. We'll see if that ends up being true. CPI data, now this is expected to increase 0.4%, so a tick higher from the previous reading. Year over year is expected to be at 3.1% there. So any real shock here, any big increase could send the markets lower because traders want. Or they hope that the Fed will remain on target to cut rates this year, and a stubborn inflation number, increasing inflation data could change those expectations from the Fed. So this is something that investors are definitely keeping a close eye on. We also see on Thursday PPI data, the producer price index being reported. And the core PPI number is expected to come in a little lower than expected. The PPI number expected, or not lower than expected, but lower than the previous reading. The PPI number expected to come in line with the previous reading. We also have retail sales coming out as well. It's expected to be positive. So there is definitely some data on Thursday to take into consideration, but CPI, Typically, the bigger catalyst for the market versus PPI. We just have to see what happens tomorrow and, more importantly, how investors and traders react. So that's what's in store for us tomorrow. Right now, Marcus just trying to figure out what comes next. Diddling along, as Marcus would say, not a whole lot of movement. If you look at a five-minute chart here of the S&P 500, we opened lower, sold off a little bit, and then started to rally. We're back above today's open, but not quite where we finished the day on Friday. So That's the S&P for you. Now, interesting enough, if you take a look at the VIX would typically be lower on a down day, but we really don't have much of a down day. And I'm sorry, the VIX would be higher on a down. It's Monday. But the VIX, the volatility fear index, volatility expands faster or typically when the markets are falling. When there's more fear in the market, when you get that big drop, traders expect more volatility, which means bigger price fluctuation in the market. And for the markets in general to be down just a tiny bit and the VIX to be up over 6%, this is a bit of a difference from what we would typically see. It is Monday, but I think it just goes to show that right now investors are believing that this week's data has the potential to move the market. Now, the VIX does track the S&P 500 options premium, essentially going out 30 days. So it's beyond just this week. But that spike based on what we had last week, to me, is saying that investors definitely think that there could potentially be some swings in price movement based on what we have coming up. So nice little pop here in the VIX. And that is a good thing for anybody who is an options seller. So when options are more expensive, it's more attractive to be selling them rather than buying them. And coming off of these super, super low levels, we see that we do have these spikes from time to time and then pullbacks from time to time. Right now, getting up to levels that we haven't seen since February. Well, we got a little spike sooner or towards the end of February, but this big day here, February 13. But if we go back further, we see that there's definitely been some low, low volatility in the market going back to November of last year. So I welcome some volatility here, and we'll see if that continues or if it's just a little anticipation ahead of tomorrow and Thursday's reports. Now, I saw an article here. This was from Morning Brew, so I want to make sure to give them credit. They looked at some things that have changed over the last 4 years because it is the four-year anniversary since the WHO declared COVID-19 a pandemic. And let's go ahead and let's look at SPY just to see what has happened since. Let's go to a weekly chart. And if we go back, what a couple of years. So we started to see that drop because of the pandemic and the data that was being reported. But March 11th being that four-year anniversary, and the number of Americans, the number of days that Americans spend working from home has jumped 5 times since 2019. That might seem like a no-brainer there, but definitely an entirely new environment that we have from workers working at home, going back to pre-pandemic to what we have now. I made a joke at the time. Because I'm a lighthearted type of guy on my Facebook page. When the pandemic was announced, because I'm just this is the way I am. I posted, my employer told me I had to work from home. I always get to work from home. So I don't know if you know, but I have an office in my house and Marcus and I get to do things remotely. So I get to do things in Sacramento and it didn't affect me in any way, but I know it was a big change for a lot of people and a scary time not knowing what was going to come next. Another big difference, air travel. Well, not necessarily a big difference, actually. Domestic air travel has been above pre-pandemic levels since last year. So actually, airlines and flights have picked up and are now to pre-pandemic levels. In fact, go figure, Marcus actually had a flight delay. He might tell the story tomorrow, but he's not the biggest fan of Southwest. And Southwest canceled his flight. So he was in Florida trying to get back home last night, and there was a cancellation. And that is why he's not here with me this morning. concerts. Live Nation had its best year in history in 2023. So concerts are back, selling 620 million tickets. Zoom, one of the classic textbook pandemic winners. I don't think it gets any better than seeing this chart, is down 40% since March 11th of 2020. So after spiking from about $70 a share up to almost $600 a share with that pandemic enthusiasm and stock increase back in 2020, now down 40% since March 11th of 2020. And Zoom having a tough time. Housing prices, one last thing that's changed since the four-year anniversary of the pandemic. In the first quarter of 2020, the median U.S. home sold for $329,000. And last quarter, so Q4 2023, up 27% to a median home price of $417,700. So a few changes there in this four-year anniversary of the pandemic, and I thought it was interesting, so wanted to share. But you know what? Let's get to trades that we're in and what's going on, because that's what we're here for. Let's first take a look at WTF trades. And the WTF scanner, looking for new opportunities. Marcus and I like to look at the S&P 100 and the NASDAQ 100 using PowerX Optimizer. No new signals, no new signals. But we are in a few trades, and CVS was one of them that had an exit signal this morning. So getting in around 74.63 this morning at the open, 74.75 is the open price. So a small gain there, not really moving a whole lot since the entry here, but that's okay. That you might have heard me say it before, but I expect that over time I will have 7 wins for every 10 trades, so a 70% winning percentage. Typically, 2 out of the 3 losses are small losses in minor. 1 out of the 10 might be a stop out, but here, a slight gain, and still in some other trades. I'm going to kick this off of my watch list since I'm no longer in the trade, and there are a few others that we are still in. So Merck being one of them that both Marcus and I took. A nice, strong start to the day, but pulling back a little bit. Still in this one, no exit signal. If we look at PayX, this is one that I took. Marcus chose to pass on this one. Nice start to the day, but has since pulled back. Nothing to do with this one. Now, PDD, interesting. PDD got an upgrade, so pulling back on Friday. But there was an upgrade, and PDD up over 4% early on, but now up 3.25%. So still in this one, no exit right now. We also have VRSK that we're in. This one just kind of going flat, no exit signal. And then there's ZS, open lower, rallying just a little bit. So a lot of these just kind of stagnant, not moving a whole lot, but that's okay. What we expect is that when we get this high probability oversold signal, that if we are buying shares based on that signal, that typically over a 4 or 5 day period, the stock will rise. And that's what we're looking for. Doesn't, you know, if it happens in one day, fantastic. If it takes 10 days, no problem. But we're waiting for an exit signal, and we still have these open. We'll see if for tomorrow there is an exit signal on any of those positions. Now, let's go ahead and move over to the wheel strategy. And today, not a whole lot going on. Both Marcus and I, we were okay taking a trade before the market open, or not before the market open, before tomorrow's. Oh my gosh. Marcus, where are you at? I'm all over the place. Let's say it one more time. Not before the market open, but we were okay putting on a trade before tomorrow's CPI data. I don't know where I got the market open from. But yeah, we know that CPI could be a market mover. And we were both okay with putting on a fantastic trade if there was one that presented itself today. But that was not the case. Tesla, for anybody interested in Tesla, the 165 strike gives you 30% annualized. That might be something to keep an eye on if you really like Tesla. Marcus and I are passing. Also looking at Apple. Apple might be one at 170. But because of Tuesday's report, we didn't want to force anything just in case there is a drop or a surprise and a negative reaction to tomorrow's data. So sitting tight, we did not add any new trades. And Apple was one that on Friday closed above the strike that we sold. So on Friday, Apple closing at 170.73. We sold the 167.50 strike. Marcus was, you know, interested, but again, passing because of tomorrow's reports, maybe considering the 170. We'll see what tomorrow brings and if there's a little more downside here. But the 170 is available today. Now, we could also look at a few other trades that were in CSIQ. As many of you know, we have been in this for a while. We added to this position down at these lower levels. And this one does have earnings before the bell on Thursday. So we're holding through earnings. We will see what happens. But right now, nothing to do with CSIQ. And we'll have to see how this stock responds to earnings on Thursday. Now, if we take a look at NEE, here's another one that we've been in for a little bit. Nice pop on Friday, down a little bit today, but on Friday, up almost 3%, down 1% today, but this one working out okay coming off of these lows. We just need it to continue to make its move back up towards these highs, and we know that interest rates, or actually yields, falling will help this one. We take a look at UPS. UPS making a move higher, really liking this move. Marcus was looking at possibly selling the 157.50 call and half of his position. There was enough premium early on. We had some of our mastermind members sell calls at 157.50. Marcus did not. And I am looking to sell calls at a higher strike. Although my break even's coming down. The payment date for the dividend that was available to shareholders on February 16th was deposited in our accounts. So a $1.63 dividend, that works out nicely. That's $3.26, I believe, that our break even has come down just because of the dividend payments here on UPS. One of the reasons why I liked it, in addition to other factors. But looking for this move higher to continue so I could start selling calls. Marcus, he's done an exceptional job trading this one. I think his break even is down here around 138, 139. So anything that he's selling is going to be profitable on this. And just waiting at this point. He would like to sell calls around 157.50 for half of the position and at a higher strike. Hoping to see this rally back up towards these highs. So nothing to do right now with UPS, but nice to see a little more follow through on this one. And then GDXJ, one from last week. Over the last couple of weeks, we've had fun with this one, and this one just worked out perfectly. We were able to sell puts, get assigned, sell calls multiple times. We were able to split our call strikes. I sold the 33 last week and the 34. Marcus went with the 33 and the 35. On Friday, he was close to having an opportunity to sell calls, or roll calls, that is, according to his plan. We like to get 60% annualized on a roll, otherwise let it go, and then see if we could reestablish a position at a lower price. Early on, it looked like we might be pulling back, but not so fast. GDXJ now up 2% for the day. That's okay. This is one that I'll have on my watch list. I'd love to trade it again, but only if we could pull back to support levels. This just worked out beautifully with this reaction to support and some nice follow through and a bounce once we got down to these 31, 32, 33 levels. That's what I'd like to see again to put on another trade here, but working out perfectly and We are no longer in a position because our GDXJ shares are officially called away. So right now, an open position that we'd both like to fill, but waiting to see what tomorrow brings. If there is some volatility and a drop and a negative reaction tomorrow, I'd like that for adding to the our wheel portfolio, adding another wheel position. If we instead see a nice rally, fantastic. It should help out our open positions, and we could be patient and wait to fill that spot. WTF's looking good, and just waiting for exit signals there. And the real biggie this week, as mentioned earlier, is going to be CPI tomorrow and then PPI on Thursday. So if you like this video, please give it a thumbs up. If you're new to the channel, please subscribe. Or if you know someone who loves trading as much as we do, please share the video. And until tomorrow, happy trading, everybody.